We'd like to say good evening to everyone. Welcome to the Nationwide Gospel Call. This is Brother Anthony Flunder with the Church of Christ in Manhattan Heights in Lubbock, Texas, saying welcome to this nationwide gospel evangelistic effort. Tonight, our speaker from Duncanville, Texas, one of the faithful brothers of the Clark Road Church of Christ, is Brother Harold Robinson. Brother Robinson is a good friend of mine, and tonight he will be speaking on the important topic, unresting, those rested scriptures taken from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 16. So at this time, I present to you Harold Robinson.
Thank you, brethren, for blessing me the opportunity to be able to come and rightly divide God's word of truth. For all of those who are listening to me, I will be coming out of 2 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 15, and to count that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned rest and unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Now that word rest right there means pervert. And one of the things that Peter is talking about right here in this chapter is false teachers. And he's also encouraging the brethren to know, to grow more in God's wisdom and understanding, to be able to spot this false teaching. And see, Peter also touched on false teachers in the previous chapter. But what causes me to want to preach on this evening is from my experience. While at undergrad there in Lubbock, Texas, I ran across a young lady who believed that all you have to do is accept Jesus into your heart and you will be saved. And then the other couple weeks ago, I heard an evangelistic preacher on television say the exact same thing. And the scriptures that they're taking this from and twisting and saying that is from the Gospel according to John in chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. That is the Gospel according to John, chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. And it reads, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is that scripture that they twist. And the sad part about it is, as Peter says, they do this to their own destruction. Now, we sit here and we see that this is very alarming. When you still, even about 1900 years, give or take, are still dealing with false teachers, people twisting God's words. And so when we look at this scripture, well, if I believe in Jesus, then I'll be saved. Well, that is true, but the belief isn't what you might appear to think that it is. You see, if I had a water bottle sitting in front of you, and I told you, if you believe, and that water bottle was full of water, and I told you, if you believe that, if I tell you that if you drink all this water and you'll live forever, if you believe me, you will drink every drop of that water. That means you will obey my commandment and drink that water. That's what this scripture truly means. Well, let's break down what it means for someone to be saved. How can someone be saved? Now, when we come over here, we're going to look at a couple things. I'm going to take us over to Matthew chapter 28. So in Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse number 19, we see that Christ sits there and he says, "All power and authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth." And then in verse number 20, he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And the key word I want us to key in on there is teach. Because if somebody is teaching you, that must mean that you, the person who's being taught, is hearing something. Well, that is very important on what it is that you're being taught, what it is that you're hearing. And now if we take a look over at Mark chapter 16, verse 16, Christ says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Well, what is it that we should believe? So in Mark in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, we see Christ saying teach, which means you got to hear something. Well, what is it that you're being teach and then being taught? And then in Mark 16:16, what is it that you're believing? Because he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That means you got to hear something and you got to believe something before being baptized. Well, what is that that you must hear and you must believe? Well, I'm glad you asked. If you will turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, we'll find out what it is that one must hear and believe before he is baptized in order to be saved. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses starting at verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you." See, he's preaching, he preached the gospel. And what is the gospel? "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures." So we see that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, this is very important because we're going to start off at the first part. You see, it says how that Christ died for our sins. Christ did die, but Christ didn't just die. Christ also suffered for us. When we sit here, we look at this, Christ is our atonement. It is through his life that we have been forgiven of our sins. When we look at Romans chapter 5, verses 10 through 11, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received atonement." That means the forgiveness of our sins. That means Christ was that sacrificial lamb that paid for our sins. When I said Christ suffered, when we go over to Matthew chapter 27, verses 25 through 35, and you can get the accounts through the other gospels, but just to keep this short, we will look at this. And what we see right here in Matthew chapter 27, starting at verse number 25, we see how, number one, Christ had been scourged. And I'll read this for us. "Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus," that means he was whipped with the cat of nine tails. It was through his stripes that we are healed. "He delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross." Now, when they said bear his cross, that meant help him carry the cross up the hill there. "And when they were come into the place called Golgotha, that is to say the place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." Now, when Christ was crucified, not only did he get scourged with whoops with the cat of nine tails, but then they put him up there, and they drove a spike through both of his hands and his feet, and then they hung him up for 6 hours. For 6 hours, Christ sat there on the cross for us. This is him suffering for us all. And then came his final words. In John 19, verse 30, John 19, verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Then he was buried and rose again the third day, which you can read in Mark chapter 15, verses 42 through 46, and Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. This is what we are to believe. This is, we sit here and we understand, like, Jesus Christ died for us. And when we believe what we just heard and are convicted in our hearts, we repent. You see, there has to become a conviction, because when you understand what took place at the cross, what Christ had to suffer for us and then die for us, that should cause you to stop and really truly be sorrowful. That's what we get in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And then again in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, when our Lord says, goes with this parable, there were present at the season some that told of him, of the Galatians, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said unto them, suppose ye that these Galatians were sinners above all the Galatians, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You see, when we sit there and we really truly understand what Christ went through and died for us, repentance isn't just something that I like to equate as make doing a 360. Repentance is a 180. Repentance is to realize that, man, those things that I did put him on that cross, caused him to suffer what he suffered, and I'm glad that he did. And I will not do those things that caused him to be put up on that cross. That is what a true repentant heart does. And then when one repents in his heart, then we acknowledge and confess that Jesus is the Christ. Now, you see, this isn't running around saying, Jesus is, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. No, 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 no. When one gets convicted, this is right before one is baptized. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 33, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. And then when we go over to Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 16, this is where they were off the coast of Caesarea and Philippi, and Christ asked his disciples, who do men say that the Son of Man am? And of course they answered and gave him everybody's opinion. But then Christ asked them, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, he confessed that thou art the Son of the living God. And you see, it is for us, it is upon our confession, we are buried in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of our sins. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And then also when we go over to Colossians chapter 2, from verses 11 through 12, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein ye also are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And when one comes out of the watery grave of baptism, God then adds you to his church. And we see this in Acts chapter 2, verses 46 through 47. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And once again, if we go over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, where it says, and God hath translated us into the kingdom, translated us from darkness into the kingdom of his dearly beloved Son. You see right there, God takes us from a sinful situation and places us in the kingdom, which is the church, through baptism. And so now when we sit here, we really break all this down and we come back, there is so much more than just calling ourselves accepting Jesus into our heart. But what it is that we must do is we must hear the gospel message. We must believe the gospel message. And when we hear the gospel message and believe the gospel message, then we must repent. And upon our repentance, then we must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And then we are baptized for the remission of our sins. And when we come up out of that watery grave of baptism, we come up as a new creature. I hope there was many more words that I would love to share with you this evening. But as we running low on time, we see with just these few scriptures how that is so much more than just accepting Christ into your heart. At this moment, I will give the call back over to the guest host. And if anybody there who has heard this message and truly believes, they will get you in contact with the faithful congregation, faithful Church of Christ near you, so that way you yourself may obey the gospel message. Thank you.